ever beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. September the 28th, 2014. I am JP. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and probably somebody else, I don't know, on some other cosmic dimension. Who knows what the parallel dimensions are showing on Wolf Spirit Radio right now? Maybe the same thing. Maybe there is a parallel William talking to a parallel JP in the parallel universe that is a real universe, that we're the backup copy of it that is just run. Well, actually, no. We'll talk about this. Right now, I'd like to say hello to my dear friend and guest, William. How are you doing, mate? Thank you very much. How's things? How's the weather where you are? Oh, that's quite nice. It keeps you cool, keeps all humming along. So, yeah, well, where do we start?
More wind than a Monsanto press release.
Longer than, yeah, indeed. So, Monsanto, yeah, bring them up. Yeah, let's nick them first. So, wow, so many things have happened since we last spoke, and things have been up and down, a bit loopy, but I remember you talking about batteries and energy supplies and magnets and stuff like that. So, do you want to cover that first, or do you want to dive straight into the deep pond of molten liquid? Totally there. I'm just gobsmacked. I'm looking forward to seeing Stillings Corp. Floated on the IPO. Yeah, that's the key. That's the key, isn't it? The internal resistance is what makes it hot when you charge them up. But I read something recently about research about when you charge a battery, it's not always just right to charge them up slowly. Some batteries actually charge up very quickly, don't they?
Tom wants to do. And, you know, water wants to spin a certain way. Water wants to, you know, go in the direction of a gravity generator and is happy when it does so. You know, we've said before on the show that, you know, water is a living entity and really is life. And hydrogen records the, our experiences throughout the whole, throughout the multiverse on hydrogen. You know, the ethereal gas, you would say. And wants to behave, do things conducively or to behave a certain way. And, you know, water's happy when it doesn't like right angles or sharp corners. It likes rounded corners. It likes to spin a certain way and likes, to be treated a certain way. And there's happy water and there's sad water. You know, this might sound, just completely crazy.
We've spoken to Clayton Nolte before on the show, and he's told us all about the structured water, and we're also involved with Chungite, which does the same thing on an energetic level because they're buckyballs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting feedback. Water is, blessing water. Science has proven that water changes shape, and you can tell happy water from unhappy water. you know, there's non-repeating crystalline structures. There's all sorts of things that water is really miraculous. You know, for one, it doesn't have an electron and borrows one from oxygen. And so, you know, especially in gravity generators, typically, you have to use an element 60 or higher for any gravity generator, and there has to be some other things, electrons in the right shell and the fourth, and also with protons, that really, the mass and everything also has a lot to say about. But, very important is that, I forgot where we were going with this.
Well, we're talking about structure, but actually what happened, Will, is that the station was off air for a few minutes, and most people... I heard what you said, but nobody else did, about the Stillings Corp, the over-unity devices, so...
Oh, you bastard!
I know, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. So, look, I'll just nutshell it for everybody in a really nice way, so you don't have to repeat yourself. So basically, Will was talking about the batteries that he's been working on, which replace a Hewlett-Packard laptop battery,
HP anything else
or anything else. But the first ones you started with were HPs, and basically, it's made of a material that is compostable at the end of its life. So your battery isn't like one of these other ones that has got lithium or cadmium in it. It's just completely compostable. Obviously, it's carbon based. But what it does, what's magic about this battery, right? There's two things. Number one is the battery itself, the chargeable element, can be charged within a matter of minutes. But what it's also got is that inside the battery is a tiny generator, and it's an over-unity generator, which means it takes a little bit of battery energy and then whizzes it right up, magnifies it, and sends it back into the battery. And because it's a very low-resistant battery, it can be charged very quickly. And so you can be running your laptop for 18 hours max on everything full on, and all you need to do is walk away for a cup of tea and a coffee or a sandwich, and it will spend that time recharging the battery back to full, and you can run for another 18 hours. How have I summarized all that, Will? Was that about it?
Basically, very well. If you didn't max out the PC, you run it indefinitely. You can use it for a week, a year, whatever. You know, the service life on the on the magnets, storage-wise, is about 7 years. So after about 7 years, you would just send in your laptop battery and be exchange it for a new one. And there'll be a program in place with a little bit of a fee to where you can exchange it for a different model or whatever. And, laptops, won't be looking the same, for too much longer, for about 10 more years. But there's a really good, the iPad, there's the ROD technology. There's quite a few things where, it'll basically be made out of laminated rice paper. It will be the composite material for the casing. So everything can be ground up and, literally could, as I said before, add clay and some bacon, so to make toothpaste out of it. You can throw it in the in a potted plant and grow something out of it. The wiring is actually very thin and grinds up very well. It's very UL rated for what it needs to be. These are going to be flattened wiring, ribbon style, because for recycling, and also, as the electron, rides the upper lattice of material, it doesn't utilize the thickness, only for like resistance and amperage. And there's actually going to be a few things to where, things are going to be coated and, be more resistant, less, So even the wiring itself will actually be, if it's not tunneling electrons, it'll be doing something other, something a little bit more interesting that your traditional batteries don't do. And hopefully,
brilliant. So but the question is, Will, all right, we hear the that's so when, where, and how much?
Well, probably within about half a year. Purchase it online, the website overunity.com. That'll be up and running pretty soon. When, where, and how much?
Yeah, how? Well, how do we get them? How do we receive them? Are they? Do we have to select from a different model type? How many different model types? You know, that sort of stuff. And then how much do they cost?
They're going to be about three different model types to begin with. So you're basically going to be stuck with HP and Acer. Will actually be the other model. Nothing for Apple yet, but coming soon. And also coming out with possibly a great laptop, which won't weigh over over 2.5 pounds, and it will be a full 17-inch screen. It'll be extremely light. Be utilizing the Peltier effect as well, for mostly for the cooling system, but also it recycles the electron makes energy.
Finally, the Peltier effect. The Peltier effect is being able to transfer infrared energy back to electricity. Is that right?
Correct. Thermal, or what's typically said, what can't be done. It's not really a great example, but nonetheless gives an example. Create the heat or cold back into electricity. Two in different metals slapped together with explosives, and hot on one side, cold on the other, you get a voltage out. Which also, you put a voltage in, you get one hot side, one cold side, so cooling down a processor that is pretty good at doing that. Although it is very inefficient, but the efficiency is no longer the problem. The price range goes from between $78 to $125 for the really good model, to where you can run it 18 hours high usage and not have to worry about it. And the $78 model, basically you plug it in, you plug in your laptop for about 3 minutes and you're good to go for between 12 to 15 hours, 12 to 14 hours.
And that's
and,
cheap.
And if you plugged it in with a 90-watt charger, it would charge up in just a little over a minute. And that would be the cheap one. And typically, battery packs go anyway between $45 and $70. So why not make it over Unity?
Absolutely, that's what I was thinking. Because what was I thinking? When I look for, I fix PCs and I fix laptops, and if I look for a replacement battery from the pattern one, not the pattern one, but the official one, say from Dell or HP, it does return the about £70, which is probably about $120. So it's no extra expense from buying the official one, and it's like a million times better.
Yeah, and lasts a lot longer as well. It doesn't suffer a memory issue, which lithium have. Not as bad as nickel metal or cadmium, but nonetheless is there and are subject to occasional shorts or some of the leads off some of the cells might come off or might burn out. And that lessens the viability of the battery life. They're not subject to only being able to charge them up 1,000 times or so before they go bad. And they're not subject to a lot of other things, which actually I won't say on the air, but are industry related, you know. Believe it or not, but your battery pack in, or the computer chip in your battery pack itself actually has a BIOS, just like your computer. And it is also, and that can be corrupted or flash rammed, or flashed, and but along those lines, and these batteries aren't subject, or, I'll just stop there, but you get the idea.
Totally.
There are more, they're more eco-friendly, battery. Very much friendly. You can just grind them up, and literally just if you add bacon soda, you can eat it.
Their first edible battery by William Stillings and his Overunity Corporation. So, here's the thing. All right, so that's brilliant. About 6 months, that takes it about... I want one for my birthday. You reckon you could deliver one on March 18th?
I hope so.
I have an HP laptop. I want one of your batteries delivered to my on my birthday. How about that?
That sounds good. You have a DD9000? Or again, Echo?
Yeah, because I've got my mic open. I've got a... I'll find out in a minute. Hang on.
DD9000 series, 9700, 6800, 6600, 6700.
Yeah, I know you want to always know this kind of information straight away, so here I am. I've just gone and gotten it, and it's a... Oh, God, where are my glasses? Hey, can you send me a pair of glasses that will make my eyes work better? Hang on, here we go. Oops. That sound was my microphone spinning around and hitting my cup of tea. All right, so it's a Hewlett Packard, for sure. It's a Vision. No.
What?
No, it's AMD. A G62. There we go, tiny little letters. A G62. It's very nice. My son gave it to me.
What's that? Which one's that? Let's see.
Anyway.
6200 what is?
The G62. Anyway, it's got a long, thin battery pack that comes in the back there. Anyway, let's...
That's a more difficult one to do.
All right, so it's the older type that has that square form, or is it a newer type that has a squarer form for the battery? Is that what you're talking about? It's the long thin?
Yeah, the elongated ones, the real thick ones, which is kind of ironic because the type of PC I want to put out is no thicker than a USB port.
Wow!
And that's the whole thickness. That's the whole thickness of the base of the laptop. The lid is basically like the Apple razor thin.
You want an out thin Apple.
Yeah. The lid would actually be very flexible. You could actually bend it. And there's, it's organic LED. It just has a, the speakers actually has a subwoofer in it and utilizes the whole PC as the speaker and the top part. And, those are, it's going to be a really good PC. It's going to be super thin, super light, not weigh more than 2.5 pounds, fully equipped. We'll still have a DVD drive in it. And we'll have quite a few other things. Be fully equipped as any other PC can be. And it'll have a very good platform that comes also with a very free platform, as long as Linux still isn't bought out, which I think it is, which is creepy.
Well, I want to bring that up in a minute because I've been looking at the shockwave.
One of those
shock.
One of one of those people in England sold off Linux.
Did they?
Didn't Linux, a totally free software, got purchased by what's his name? Shit. Yeah, that guy. And Mr. Flu shot himself.
Mr. Correct use of vaccinations will kill off most of the world.
That's pretty creepy when you're really enthused about vaccination and give them away for free. If people aren't suspect of that or suspicious of something like that, then please do not call into the show. Please do not. Are you saying flu shots are bad? If somebody wants to stick a needle in your arm for free, you might want to think twice. All right, especially with all the rumors and stuff of people croaking away right after a flu shot.
Yeah, or crawling away after a flu shot, as we know.
They're not even able to do that. Walking backwards, maybe.
Yeah, and rocking. our good friends in the industry, yeah. Let's talk about your fantastic projects rather than about what a twat Mr. G is. This ultra thin, flexible, organically homegrown laptop. Is it all going to be manufactured in the US of A? Is it going to have you got a team making these things? Does it need clean room? What's the deal? How much deep industry does it need?
Well, it basically needs the same things to make a PC as any other. But the organic LEDs have been around for quite a while, and they're very good. They're extremely high resolution, and the great thing about them is that you don't need a solid plastic backing to them like you do with a liquid crystal, where you have glass on the front. There's no glass front; it'd be flexible plastic. And actually, I do have in mind Gorilla Glass, which is great. That stuff is great. You hit that thing with a hammer, scratch it with a knife, and it won't scratch. And it's very flexible, very extreme high dielectric strength, 5,000, blah, 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 point 106. And is beautiful. The whole lid is flexible. You can run it into a wall and bend it, and it doesn't break the screen. It's child gaming safe almost. Might even survive a 10-year-old on it for 10 minutes, It's got extremely bright display. The battery pack could be taken out and utilized as a flashlight, utilized as a charging unit for your cell phone or other hardware.
Now you're talking, my friend.
Yeah, and it's magnetized so you could stick it to something, and stick it to a wall or whatever, and use it as a light source. It's an indefinite light source. Guaranteed to go 10 years. People say, why 10 years? And on the Overunity device, even though the magnet seed recharge or redoing at 7 years, it still has an output, and the LEDs are guaranteed for 10 years. So, the LED would eventually burn out after 10 years around that period. And it could be used as as a charging station, as a portable charging station. The whole battery pack doesn't weigh 4 ounces. So, in relation to the size of some models, it's still, you're still able to put it in a purse at least. You feel a little awkward maybe carrying it, whatever, but it could fit in briefcase or whatever. And, you take it camping, you start your car with it, too, possibly.
Well, I mean, now you're talking about something that is a little more than just a laptop battery. And you're talking about the, you could say it was almost the ultimate energy source. Because there it is, you're talking, how many watts can it put out at any one time?
30 watts would be basically its maxed out rating.
So let's see, 30 watts is quite a lot of current. It's certainly not enough really to boil a kettle, say, but it is enough to run a hydroxy unit that could boil a kettle.
Mm-hmm.
You could use this over Unity device to run a hydroxy unit that then could produce vehicle fuel or plasma cutting or heating or cooking. You could.
I'll make a portable attachment that you just plug it into the side of a hydrogen oxygen welder. Something. Not really much bigger than the battery pack itself, and you just add water, and you just have a little tip that you hold and cut through quarter plate steel or something.
Yep. How about that?
Have a little compressor in there to put out like 30, 40 psi of pressure to blow out to extrude the material and to blow it away.
You know, a watt. Yeah. You can use you can do a lot of things with a single watt, can't you? If you knew how to use it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, the 30 watts, typically your laptop at moderate use is about 30 watts. And, the time that you're sitting there maybe typing a PDF or maybe watching YouTube or something, if it's not full screen, you're definitely getting the gain. And for the capacitance, it's more or less rivaling lithium at 1.5 to 2.5 times the capacitance. So with the cell size and the surface area that I have to work with, I'm certainly tripling or quadrupling at least the capacitance of the lithium, which is actually pretty hard to do, really. Nickel metal actually exceeds lithium now in capacitance, and but not by much. And so, making it resistantless, organic, a non-fire hazard. You could short it out and exceed 45 watts and set something on fire, but. It's not gonna burst into flames or produce metallic lithium, and burst in flames if it's charged up. So you take it on a plane, there's no hazard. It might look a little funny, it's gonna look like basically your average laptop battery. It's just gonna be it'll be the same color, it'll be a little bit more greenish, but it'll be laminated rice paper, it's totally organic, and there's no fire hazard, hence it's going to have the highest UL rating.
So you're talking about it's a kind of resin-bonded rice paper that you're making the outside of it with?
Yeah.
Does it contain any metallic element in the outside? It's completely like a cellulose type, an organic fiber, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I might copper plate the inside of the casing, or maybe even the outside or the middle part, for inductive shielding, make it just somebody might not grab a free electron or if you went someplace that did that or just electromagnetically shielded, and it kind of the reverse, but yeah. But yeah, that may or may not be, but it'll be thin enough to certainly grind it up, and you know, and when you put metals in a plant, the plant processes it, those become trace minerals, those become vitamins. So you know, copper, yeah, copper is very a very good source or a very good metal to use, you know, for stuff like that.
And of course, you're going to be using incredibly small amounts because you only need a very thin layer for the electrons to just make a river and flow across. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It'll certainly, you know, not that it's any issue, but just inherently, it's going to utilize a lot less copper wiring or ribbon wiring than is traditionally used. You know, not much, but nonetheless. And, you know, you put it through a recycler or a grinder, it does very well. Stick it in the blender, it'll do great.
Just we'll blend.
You know,
have you seen this?
Stamp up. What?
Will it blend?
No.
There's a guy, he has one of these really high industrial type blenders, and he puts like iPhones and all sorts of things in it.
Will it blend? Yes.
So you
get, I like that.
Blendtec, that's the guy who runs it. So you could get in touch with him. Okay, I've got something for you to blend. That's when you've got one that you don't really, you know, maybe that doesn't work.
I'm hoping a good amount of my thinking will make it to Brooke Agnew's new truck line that he's coming out with. And, you know, the complete electric truck. And it's freaking great. He has a really good electric truck that he's putting on the market now.
Well, that's also, you know, because the other thing that I thought about is, like, yeah, laptop's great. Send me one. I'll stick it on a bloody bicycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a Rod Technologies thing that I'm sending to him. That conforms to the amount of space that he's reserved just for me, which is a little bit about the size of a cigar box, and so you know, with that, you know, I definitely can make something work. Going to be I'm thinking, you know. 10,000 watts, easy. We can do that.
Really?
You know, 10,000 watts, that's 14 horsepower right there, right?
That's right. It's 750 watts per horsepower. Yeah.
755, yeah.
Ooh, 755.543.
Don't you get picky with me, people.
don't out precision, William. So listen. This is I'm so looking forward to this technology, and I'm so pleased to be your friend. And it's just, I mean, all right. So here's the thing: how are you going to fund it? Have you got backing? Have you got friends? Have you got industry? Have you got a production facility? That's the thing.
No, don't have production facility, but definitely have friends, loving friends. Can always use PayPal, you know, for traveling. To get on another subject, Fukushima is one of the crying points that I have, at least preventative, you know, a nuclear reactor went up, not good. I was going along the west coast, up towards Oregon, and, needing a little bit of, support with that as far as, donations. But more importantly, it's very important, you know, the message is, whether it's disastrous or not, you know, people still have to be a little guarded about what they eat or selectively eat. Like, very much, basically, right off the top is no seafood, nothing from the sea. Having, know, farms raised, fantastic. Is the sushi place that you go to doing farm raised, you know, very important. Very important for people to go on to eBay. If you're a concerned or a concerned person about things like this, is on eBay you can purchase the Soix 01M radiation detector, which is a beta gamma detector, and there's also the Quantum Elite, or the Quantum radiation detector, which is the next step up from the Soix 01M. And both of those are very good radiation detectors. They're very accurate. And, you know, you can measure the food that you're eating. You purchase some rice, you purchase some tuna, you purchase whatever. You can measure it. You know, coconut water or whatever. You know, coconuts readily absorb cesium-137. So in the event of a nuclear disaster, coconuts really are the first. That and bananas are really the first to victims to the bioaccumulative scenario. And, you know, and to be wary of fish, you know, just to not eat seafood. I can't tell you enough how bad is. Already got a count rating of 790 becquerel, which is, that was a couple pieces of seaweed. Sediment that washed up is about 100 feet so from the water, from the highest tide, and, you know, that was just stuff that was, you know, maybe dragged up by people passing by or whatever.
So, but, Will, how's that compared with what it used to be when, you know, before 2011?
Before 2011, it was 5 becquerel, 5 count, maybe 6 at most. Now it's 790. To give people an idea how desperate and bad this is, you know, the Japanese government raised the allotment or the tolerance from 10 becquerel up to 100 becquerel. More disturbingly is a year ago the United States followed suit. Now apparently 100 becquerel per kilogram per year is safe, apparently. That's just not the case, but apparently. And, you know, being that they're not going to be able to hide it, you know, it would be any wonder that they would make getting medical insurance law. Has anyone ever heard that one before? And if they did that, it would probably be followed by the term mystery illness, like you'll start hearing around February of 2015. People are coming down with a mystery illness. They can't seem to find what the cause of it. It seems to be a virus. They're looking to see if they get rid of this virus. Not a virus. It's radiation poisoning. Bottom line, mystery illness is the key phrase that you'll all be hearing before Christmas, which isn't too far away.
And this is... Can we talk about how you know all this? Is it still? It's still that was. It's yeah. It's a kind of classified industrial secret thing. Can we say that?
Yeah. Well, I can say Echo. I can say that that I've known about it for a very long time. I've known about Fukushima and the reactors blowing up 7 years ago. And, you know, people will take a minute, and of course they'll say, wait a minute, Fukushima happened 3 years ago. Man, and I'd be like, good, yeah, that's about right. And, you know, so, you know, Fukushima, as you know, JP, has been my big worry, and you've known me for a pretty long time.
I have indeed, and I do remember, well... I can still see your MySpace page in my mind. I think it's still there, isn't it? But your MySpace page from 2007?
Uh-huh, 2007.
And, you know, that was about the time I was in MySpace. I had a MySpace page. I still probably have. What is it? I don't know what it would be. I think it's primitive.
Remember getting these wild... URL sent to you about Japan earthquake 2011 and the rantings of a
The rantings of a madman. Yeah, I mean, it does sound like that. And if you know what's going to happen, and you say it ahead of time, people think you're talking in metaphors, or they think that you're that you've gone beyond and you've lost it, or something. Well, but they
gone
don't
beyond.
Get it. I mean, beyond is a kind of way. It is true in a way, isn't it? So you've seen this. You've seen it unfold the way it unfolds, and have you seen what happens afterwards?
No, not well. Yeah, but not too much. Mm. And I'm not going to say anything.
Of course, right? Because okay. I don't want to, you know.
But I will say this: February 2015, White House press release. President in that press release, or the pretend acting president, does a little subcategory of global warming. In that global warming part is he talks about the oxygen level, how the oxygen level has gone down. And actually that is correct. By 2016, it's documented as 19.8%, down from the 21.3% that it is today. It's actually 21.1 now. And that's because all the plankton in the ocean has died off. And that's 60% of our oxygen production, not that we have a rainforest. I think the 70s and 80s kind of covered that part. Agency covered a lot part of that. the phrase mystery illness will be also accompanied. And, of course, their abomination care, which did you all people out there sign up? and what kind of health insurance, you know, wants to know if how much your home is worth? Isn't that just a warning flag? You go out and purchase a car, and you're paying cash, but they want to know how much your house is worth. Is that not a warning flag in itself?
It's like, why would you want to know, and what kind of person would want to know is the question that you ask yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like randomly going up to a person asking how much money they have in the wallet. You know, you might expect to hear, like, why, you know, are we going out to lunch or something or whatever. But when they just stand there, they want to document it.
So here's the thing. I have heard recently about some clause or something's just been passed into law or legality anyway, about people who have a respiratory illness can be incarcerated. And that sounds like this. And what about Ebola? Do you think Ebola is a cover for this radiation sickness that we're talking about?
Well, the Ebola thing is there are outbreaks, but it's not anywhere close to as bad. But, you know, we've discussed earlier in earlier shows that you turn on the right wave and do a few things and something becomes enormous, right? That kind of thing. But, yeah, that very much is the predecessor to kind of smoke screening the real illnesses. And, you know, people get spontaneous nosebleeds, that kind of thing. It's more of a bioaccumulative than it is an aerosol release. That danger has kind of subsided. The real danger is people going out and getting sushi, getting naked with the tuna and all that kind of thing. Ba-dum-bum.
Getting naked with the tuna. Really?
It's just a phrase I just rolled off the top of my head.
It did, didn't it? It's like, wow. Wow, that only in California would people do that. Let me just get naked with this tuna here. Although apparently that's Tuesday in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you understand the fisheries collapsing there. Has anybody noticed on Deadliest Catch, the Alaskan fishery on cable, how they've caught no crab in the last couple years, and how the crab that they have caught are mutated or deformed, and I don't like to use that word or anything, but deformed and burnt? No limbs. Have you noticed that?
I haven't, actually. Because I'm thinking, you know, in a very short period of time, you'll be able to sell cans of tuna pre-Fukushima on eBay for vast amounts of money, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Not that I've ever had cravings for tuna, to be honest.
Yeah, you remember me in 2008 or 2009 telling people to buy coconut oil, metallic iodine, and vitamins that come from the sea. And to do it quick, and that's just, metallic iodine went up from $20 a pound up to about $400, $500, $600, $700, topped out at $800 a pound, I believe. Yeah, it did.
Metallic iodine. How do you process that? What do you do? Would you just drop some in water?
No, it comes in crystals. It looks purplish. You add ammonia and with a little bit of soap, and you keep rinsing, and then you get nitric iodide, which is actually four hydrogen atoms surrounding a iodine atom. Or four iodine atoms surrounding a hydrogen atom, which is unstable and explodes. It goes off with a big bang.
Yeah, I remember that stuff. We were messing about with that when we were kids.
Yeah, fun snap. Yeah.
Little snappy things, yes.
Yeah, it's ammonia and iodine. And, you can also make Persian blue and some Guardian Feather nuclear radioactive isotopes or nucleides, which I kind of really want to tell your listeners to, very important, turmeric, garlic, all sorts of spices, guard against a lot of different radionuclides. Potassium iodide or salt would only guards really against radioactive iodine or cesium by about 75% for the first 10 minutes of ingesting or metabolizing. And then it's still possible to, if you knew a hot wave was coming in. And, it doesn't guard against the other things. And guarding against technetium, mendelium, other nasty americium, plutonium, all sorts of other stuff. The spices are definitely, which is very important. If people haven't noticed, try to find a form of copper in vitamins nowadays. Since 2008, it was banned. One way to kill people off of an aneurysm is actually removing copper out of the vitamins. And, copper is essential. Copper fibers are essential for elasticity in skin, arteries, and veins. And one warning sign that you're copper deficient would actually be your hair turning gray or white. They took that off the market, OD on copper, that can be done, and it's hard to, purge copper out of your system when you ingest the vitamin or whatever, but, the only way that we lose electrolytic trace minerals out of our body is through sweating. So exercise actually, or sweating would actually do that. But, there are things to guard against, for the dangers that are present. For support, if people want to send support for travels, a little bit of food, and getting the battery line up and going, trying to send a sample, a working device to Brooks Agnew, my PayPal is williamstillings@gmail.com, WILLIAMSTILLINGS, @gmail.com and be great. Anything, everything is very much appreciated. 50 cents, a dollar, anything. Just put Uber Troll in the notes, and that way I'll know it's from the JP Show. Ever Beyond Radio. Is that good?
Awesome. Let's take a little break. This song is called Dissolved Girl by Massive Attack.
Oh, no.
Ah, here we are. Okay. Ah, welcome back. Just thought I'd land the TARDIS for a moment. We're going to take off in a minute. Ah, yes, here we go. So let's take off the TARDIS once more.
Fascinating.
So just gonna take off the TARDIS here, back into hyperdimensional space to speak to tonight's guest. Doctor. Are you a doctor? Do you have PhDs and things? William Stillings.
Me?
Yeah.
I've seen a degree on TV.
You got a degree in the University of Hard Knocks and Life.
No. We don't say that phrase. We don't say that phrase. I don't fall in that group. I have good old-fashioned experience.
But experience that puts you in a category all of your own, because you know you have knowledge and knowledge being experience, as Einstein said, the knowledge of hyperdimensional physics, about all kinds of energy transformations, about deep knowledge about elements and their structure, and electromagnetics and magnetoelectrics and scalar and all of these, and gravity waves, and so you've got, you're versed in that stuff, you know, that's why I call you the doctor, you know. The other thing is you're very funny and you've got a heart, you know, you care about things, and you care about the planet as she's being poisoned and attacked. So, is there any way we can stop this thing unfolding that way, or is it already too late? And if it is too late, what can we do to mitigate it?
Well, the reason why I started screaming about four nuclear reactors blowing up Japan on March 11th, 4 years before it happened, and that they were going to, was because it's really incredibly hard to clean up that kind of thing, which actually is not really possible to do. So it really is, there is a way of doing it. It's actually on frequency, removing each isotope, and each isotope has its own frequency, and that's basically the thing of how to do that, which is a higher technology, which has been used quite a bit, but not in the mainstream public.
You're talking there about beaming something up, aren't you?
Basically.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make it clear for our audience that that's what he's talking about.
You know, you can find a speck of gold in 100 tons of granite and remove it on frequency, just convert the gold into a higher energy state and make it more massless and just pass it through the rock, and then you obtain it. Radiation's a little different and very difficult to do. Grays, ET, aliens, were very adamant about getting rid of the nuclear reactors because the radiation is very difficult to deal with and is inherently makes round vehicle technology very difficult. That it has, a round vehicle might be floating in the sky, you won't be able to see it. Instead of bending the light, it might be utilizing some other some other function, like it might be in a more massless state, and only picked up really in the ultraviolet, And, you know, when in the presence of radiation, that random scattering might betray the effects of the gravity generator, and that might make the vehicle visible. The vehicle might drop out of the sky momentarily, any sort of thing. And which is very difficult to handle, even for higher technology stuff, which is why I was screaming about it as a preventative, which is why I called the nuclear reactors on the northeast side of Japan in 2010 and was saying, hey, if you guys like have an earthquake, say in March of 2011, shut down. And they said, why do you say this? How do you know? time travel? Click.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because time travel. Okay. Thank you. But the thing is,
they hang up.
The thing is that they'll always say, "Ah, oh, what a nutter," you know, because you know, because our paradigm, our CIA has been very, very successful in making the idea of time travel impossible, hasn't it?
Yeah, and in people's minds, sure. We've done a great job. Yeah, pretty effective. You know, all matter's a wave, all atoms are an over-unity device, gravity generator motor. You know, light is all wave. You know, for science, somebody with a degree, you know, to call light a particle is pretty funny. You know, always against them for reasons, but very good reason for that anyways. But, you know, if light was a particle, you know, a three-year-old would tell you that it would break the glass going through the bulb. Silly. You know, light is all wave, and the reason why it has mass is because it's tied to the fourth dimension of time domain, not the energy-to-mass translation or event. And that's termed usually as a creation. And so, you know, the frequency and stuff, and that's why it has mass. If you increase the energy or the rate of frequency, you would make that more massless or become more massless. See?
So it just floats up. You vibrate the rock, and it just floats up,
yeah.
And you don't need to mine it. Is that what the Nazis used to do in Africa? Is that what Michael Tellinger's site does? That they were vibratory generators and they just floated the gold up into them and collected it, scooped it off the top? Is that right?
I don't really corroborate Tellinger. I don't talk to him. Haven't looked at any of his stuff. But, you know, as far as what the Nazis were doing, yeah. As far as...
The Nazis. I call them the Nazis. Anunnaki. Yeah. I call them Anunnaki.
Yeah. And how the pyramids were made. You know, the pyramids, the stones had to be a certain size on mass. They had to be a very uniform, predictable mass, such as granite or limestone. And they had to be cut a certain size. And when they were that certain size, a certain tone or vibration could make the own material of the rock become its own gravity generator and you know, cancel out and lift up. And that's how, you know, two or three people could push a, you know, 100-ton stone and lift it in the air and, you know, put it into place. And, but it had to be a very uniform, predictable mass. You know, gravity generators are made on the mass of the element that you use. So it's dictated by the mass of the element used. And, you know, it has to be element 60 or higher, unless it's hydrogen. Hydrogen is does not fall within quantum states. Technically doesn't fall within quantum states. And doesn't have an electron, so the gravity inherent in hydrogen has a high propensity to want to extend towards the borrowed electron shell. And hence, you know, using water in, say, pyramids to make a gravity generator was very good. And if you had something like a vibration source, like, say, scarab beetles and bees do not fly. They have no ability whatsoever to push enough air to lift themselves up. Bees and scarab beetles levitate. They produce their own gravity and float up like a round vehicle. This can be proven if you get a graduated beaker with a sealed top, put some helium in it, and put a bee in it. The bee will never be able to fly to the helium layer because the tone pitch changes, and therefore it cannot produce its own gravity wave and can't lift. So it will never fly into the helium layer, even though it doesn't really need that much oxygen to fly. And you know, it should be able to for a couple seconds, as is any other gas, and would, and does. But cannot inhale him because the tone and pitch changes, and it's no longer oscillating that gravity through its exoskeleton or through its wings. The cat. You see?
That's I know. I was talking to this to my girlfriend about this the other day, about the difference between bees and wasps, because wasps really are pushing air. And flying like old-fashioned kind of jet props.
Yeah.
Whereas, like you say, bees are humming. And it's interesting because the wings are not only producing a hum, but they're also producing a backdraft so that they're pushed along. You know, so they levitate by the hum and they push by the backdraft. That's really efficient propulsion system.
Yeah, they only utilize enough air to maneuver and to stabilize.
So that's a fascinating thing. I read somewhere about a guy who was took a load of bee bodies and glued them all to a piece of wood.
Laptop. Oh, glued it to a laptop. Yeah, and it's actually the metal plate and the battery in the laptop battery that with the electrons that actually made it lift. And that was a that's great. I have that video. I have that the original one. I contacted the person, and they sent me the non-compressed YouTube version of it, and it's complete authentic. I said, very good. And I explained it to him. I said, you realize it's a gravity generator. He goes, what's that? And I said, nothing.
Time travel. All right. So,
I said, thank you.
You should say Wolf Spirit Radio.
Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah.
I miss Dave Corso.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Did you hear me when I was on air with him? I told him that he might have a kidney stone that's blocking the septic bacteria in his kidney. And I asked him the symptoms, and he said he thought I might be right. And I asked him if it was on the right side of his, if it was on the right kidney. And I can't remember. I think he said, yeah. But I was hoping he would go in, and then you know the unexpected happened a couple of days later, and that guy he had so much experience.
Totally, yes. And I concur, Dr. Stillings, that kidney, you know, that was definitely, you know, based around Dave's kidney and the blockage there. So, yes, not only are you all those, but you also are medical intuitive. Did you self-teach yourself remote viewing?
Oh, kind of, yeah, but that was also because there's a device, you know, people know about HARP, and that's actually created on frequency where they utilize the vitamin C in people's bodies to calcate in the kidney to produce a kidney stone, and then they do a few other things to cause a repetitive laceration using that stone, and makes the septic pus or whatever grow and build up in that. Yeah, and that's how they're. That's one of the ways of. You know, I think Dave was taken out. If you know what I mean.
Well, it certainly was unexpected. You know, I mean.
Yeah,
it was one week and another, and
in
a way, we're all. I'm still reeling from the the shock, confusion, the added responsibility, having to deal with things. You know, I'm having to rearrange my life because of it. But in a way, I don't think it's a bad thing because it's helped to make some things clear. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
And Yeah, bless your heart. Thank you. And yeah, I feel the same thing.
Well, it's I gotta get going. I gotta save minutes. And
now listen, I can send you how much the thing costs. Whatever it costs, just tell me how much it is, and I'll pop that back in your PayPal straight away.
Wait until it up and selling. I want to get select 7 people, and you're one of them on the free use. Mm-hmm. I send out the battery pack, and you just write a report every week on how you feel it's performing, and there'll be selections like completely ecstatic or. I was thinking of grinding this up and using it as toothpaste.
This battery is toothpaste.
Just
let me know how much it costs. I'll send you some bucks straight away. I love you.
That'd be
it's
great.
Worth it. Your information is not only timely, information dense, let's put it that way. People can learn a lot by listening to the show over and over and over again until they finally understand what you said. We managed to get across really clearly. There's usually a lot of problems, but you've been really clear tonight. Thank you, brother. Thank you, friend. William Stillings. Awesome dude all around. Bless your heart. Thank you.
Thanks. Jiffy.
Thank you.
Hey, can I plug Fukushima? I mean, if people want to send donations for travel and for a little bit of food, I'm doing a documentary for the West Coast beaches, the radiation inundation on the West Coast beaches, and then seafood, going to certain Ralph's and Vaughn's grocery stores, making a list of what is all right to eat, what more than likely isn't. I need a little bit of PayPal help with travel and flight food costs over the course of the next 3 months. And if you could give my PayPal out to people, that'd be great.
I have indeed, and I will again. William Stillings, WILLIAMSTILLINGS @gmail.com is the place to send PayPal. You will support this genius who's made all this stuff, right? And he's got all this stuff, and it's just about to, he's got some test models, but he needs some extra help. Please send him help. It costs him dollars to make phone calls, and he is in a laundrette or something. Where are you?
Fantastic. Thanks,
JP. Who are all these people who are going, nah, behind you?
Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you. Thank you so much.
All right. Bless your heart. Good night, Will. So, that's Will. And, I'm going to call up Nancy. just get Nancy on back because we've got 40 minutes to go. Hello, Nancy. How are you, my love?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, you're really good. You managed to switch off the radio and answer the call in a very short period of time.
Well, I don't think I've got the wolf. Okay, I'm off now. and Walt is here, too, if you want him.
Oh, let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. Because Walt is of great consciousness. Nope, that's not Walt. Who is Delenn Waltz? I have no idea who that is.
Can't help you out.
I can't get rid of it. Yeah, there we go. WALT. Wild Silver. Here he comes. Black Lion. His icon is our Black Lion. Which is really a really black. It's a lion with black fur. How amazing. Excellent. Excellent. Walt, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
All right. You don't need your video, but thank you for saying hello.
Oh, okay. Let me click on the camera.
There we go. There we go.
It's not that you're not handsome, but boy, that lion looks really good.
It's okay. I always feel the honor that in my first conversation with Nancy, she asked my age and I told her, and she goes, "Oh, so you're an old fart." I was so honored. I thought I was getting the Congressional Medal of Honor there. You know, you have this character call me an old fart. That was so good.
So, you just heard that show. What did you tune in?
I just came in from buying groceries.
Oh,
so
right.
I'm sorry I missed it. I hope that the recording will be available for download.
Yes, it will be.
Okay.
I was just talking with William Stillings, who I've had on my show quite a few times. I don't know if you've heard any of his archives, but he was involved in many of the programs since he was a child in the 60s. And one of them was Project Pegasus, which involved plasma containment time travel. Literally the time tunnel. He's been involved since then, and also has a great knowledge of elements and geometry and how they combine to create gravity generators and things like that.
And he's alive to tell about it?
Yeah, they need him. He's such a genius, they need him. They need him alive.
Sounds like the guy who's the head of that secret think tank in the Wingmaker material.
Maybe he will be one day.
No.
So what he was talking about is first of all, you have a battery that is made of organic material that is able to be charged within a couple of minutes for a full 18-hour charge, right? That's the first component of this thing that his company is going to be building. And then in the inside of that, in another little sort of inner module, is an over-unity generator. So that when you're using your battery and you stop using it for a few minutes, this over-unity generator will then recharge the battery on the remaining charge that's in the battery. It'll recharge the battery itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sounds like some of the things that John Bedini has worked on.
That's right.
Where they could run the machines endlessly and the battery only had maybe like a 5% charge left in it and it just kept on going.
That's right. So that's what he's building, and I made him promise to send me one by my birthday next year.
Cool.
Which is about 6 months' time, and hopefully, you know, he said, you know, once they've made the batteries, then they're going to expand that into laptops that have organic LED screens that can flex, that are incredibly thin, and all sorts of cool things.
So Nancy's going to get her wish.
Which is?
Farmers are going to be allowed to cultivate hemp again and use that to replace plastics as opposed to petrochemicals to make plastics.
Well, his battery is made of compressed rice paper.
Huh. Hemp would probably be better. Hemp would probably be better.
Hemp would be cool. Hemp would be very, very cool.
Yay!
Ford made a car out of hemp and hemp products. Entirely, you know, probably apart from the casing, you know, the engine casing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Popular Mechanics did a test, and they found that the fender of the Ford was 10 times stronger than steel.
No wonder you would crash those cars, and you would destroy whatever you crashed into. The car would be left without a dent.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the gasoline was based on hemp. It was hemp gasoline. Because when he was building the car, it was at the same time that the oil companies had started to come together. And but he built it to run on hemp. And you know, then that's why you have marijuana legal now, because the Hearst Foundation and all of the oil companies, Hearst the publisher, the printer, the newspaper guy, and all of the oil companies all came together to try to make hemp this evil thing so that they could make it illegal to grow so that the oil companies would be able to, you know, do what they've done for the last, you know, well, almost 100 years. So, yeah, he was really an interesting sort of person, but he understood. Well, hemp has always been very important. You could actually pay your taxes in America for a while with for 20 years or something with hemp. You know, so they don't want us to know about this because every single product in the oil company's arsenal of products can be replaced by hemp, which does not in any way hurt the environment. It doesn't even deplete the soil. You can have three crops a year. You make money off of every time you deal with hemp, and all of this plastic shit can all be made of hemp, and it's biodegradable. So you know,
there's no way to poison the Gulf with a hemp well.
No. No. But the other thing he was talking about was the radiation. I mean, he painted a very, very dire future coming up. And I really wish you asked him, could we have any control over it? But then he got off on this other thing. You know, it was like he didn't answer that question. I don't know. See, I'm of the mind that the future cannot be predicted. It can only be created. And it's like these guys go out there and they tell you these really bad things. But it's like, if we can't do anything about it, you know, what do you want us to do? Completely prepare for this thing and not do anything about it? It's like, you know, I think of ourselves as solution-based radio, and it's like, okay, you scared me, but what do we do? What do we do about it? And I really wish that more of them would begin to say, okay, this is the situation, but this is what you can do to make a difference. Well, and he also didn't seem to be at all aware of shungite.
No. Well, we'll talk about fullerenes next time I get a chance. But when we've spoken about this before, about what can be done, and indeed, what he's saying, or what he said, is that early in 2015 there will be an accident at the Pilgrim Power Station in, where is that?
It's in Massachusetts.
Yeah. And that will be like America's Fukushima. That's what he saw through his
chronograph.
Time travel experiences.
Pegasus.
Yeah, that's not an absolute future. It's a potential future.
It's a potential future, but things have been working out the way that potential future worked out. So, yes, it's a potential future, and perhaps we could use these devices and the morphological field of the listenership to bend and shape the universe, the future reality, so that it doesn't happen.
I'm with that.
Since we know about it, I don't know.
Well, okay. Everybody who's listened to me knows that I think reality is what we think it is. And that based on my understanding of the consciousness that I call Gaia, that's Mother Earth, many people have different names for her, but that it's a consciousness. That consciousness, in response to a number of people saying, please help us, and probably herself calling out to the universe, please help me, these people are trying to kill me, that we were given shungite. And yes, we're always harping on shungite because shungite, the more we look at it, the more magical the stuff becomes. And what's happened is that between Walt and myself and you, JP, we've beginning to understand the science that's based on shungite. Now, Walt, who many of you may or may not know, does journeys, shaman journeys, and talks to people's guides and his own guides in order to get information. Now, either you buy into that or you don't. I buy into it because in the book Cosmic Reality, I said, in order for Gaia to go to the next level of her own consciousness development, humanity has to help. Humanity has to provide the energy, the source energy for that leap. And the only way it can be done is if we all gain shaman consciousness. And what I mean by that is that the ability to not just be inside your own beingness, but to have the flexibility of your consciousness to expand it to experience other levels of consciousness. So in the case of Shungite, Shungite has a consciousness. Walt has seen Shungite in the form of a black lion. Two other people, have seen it as a white lion. And neither one of them knew that the other had seen the white lion. It was just one of those, again, confirming that, yes, this is exactly what's happening. So the more that we look at this mineral that has a consciousness, the crazier it gets, because it's like it's working with us. It's Mother Earth's gift to us to expand our own consciousness level to a degree that the playing field can be leveled. These people are using exotic devices in order to maintain and control over us, to keep us in a muddled state in our own brains. Well, the beauty of Shungite is that it takes us beyond that. Now, what's happening right now is that Walt has got his video on the Skype, and he's showing JP what's called the Shungite Spirit Spiral. Now, we sort of like, it's a lot of words, we just call it the Shungite spirit. I mean, spiral, excuse me, a Shungite spiral. Now, what he's done is it's based on a trip where he asked for the dimension, how long does that copper wire have to be in order for us to get the same frequency of Shungite? Then he put it into a specific spiraling little, all he did was bend the wire in a specific way and connected it to the Shungite. So the first one he ever showed me absolutely freaked me out. He showed it to me over Skype, and I'm going like, my God, this thing is just so powerful. And then he sent it to me. And what this thing does is that if you take, in a shamanistic way, allow yourself to believe that your consciousness is not just limited to your own beingness, and let your consciousness enter into the field, the energy field being put out by this Shungite spiral, and you instantaneously will have a increase in your consciousness level that is just mind-kicking. I mean, it's just unbelievable where you can go with this. So the thing of it is that we've got a few of them out there. And when people see these, they either immediately have an understanding and an attraction to it, or they don't. Okay, they either want to talk to it. They have this inkling, I can talk to this field. And in fact, you can. And you can program this field with any programming that is based on the heart, because Gaia and Shungite are not foolish. They have made so many safety mechanisms in this device and all of the devices that Walt's working on regarding Shungite. So if you have a pure heart, because the energy is really coming through your heart, and if you have a pure heart, the Shungite spiral will turn on, will work for you. If you do not, if you're trying to do something that is outside an absolute pure heart, the Shungite spiral will not even come on, because we've learned that it comes on and off. And depending on the person, if somebody is not of pure heart, they can't even turn it on. And somebody that is can say on, off, and it'll do just that. It's the most receptive and responsive device I've ever worked with. And I know this really because we had to go to this crazy fair, and I'm not even going to tell you what happened. It was like the worst nightmare a vendor could possibly have. And it was too dark to see our stuff. We were in a place that was like, the traffic is just trying to get through it. It was too hot there. Everything was wrong. But interestingly enough, I had some of the spirals with me. So I had one out, and two of us at the table, Stephanie Dietz and I, we both understand this. We've been playing with it. So we understand how it works. And there were times where we had to turn off the spiral because of the effect it was having on the people in front of us. It wasn't like they were noticing us and wanted to talk to us about it. They just became very like, what's happening? What's happening around me? You know, and if you turned it back on, you probably would get one of these people that would come over to the table. They were being attracted by the energy. So when I hear people like Williams speaking, and I understand that that is a given timeline, it is a given future possibility. I just want to go, Shungite, all we have to do is use Gaia's gift that we have received through Walt's journeying and expand our own consciousness to be able to stop all of this. So, sorry, I was rambling, but I mean, it's just like, you guys talk. What do you think? I mean, Walt knows what I'm talking about. Jay, you don't.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, speaking of the spiral, this is a great time to, I don't know if you can say it in the air, to explain to JP how his is different, because I was letting him know over the Skype chat. His spiral is different from the other ones that I made for you for the show, because those were single piece of shungite in the center. JP's is the second one that I make that has three pieces at the center. And I remember when we had our conversation, when you got, you know, the parcel with the box, you gave me, and I wish I could remember every word, you gave me a good explanation how the single piece one is different from the three piece one. Since the guide's indicating that you needed three pieces to achieve coherence, and I can't remember your words exactly, you said something that the three piece one was kind of independent of the remainder of the network, that you could, it would operate something
right.
Like
right, because every one of the spirals is every piece of shungite is linked to the mother field in Russia. And so every one of these spirals, when they are operating singularly with one shungite, they are, again, always, you know, working directly with the mother field. They can't do anything without the okay of the mother field. It's the mother field that's saying yes or no on different energies and different people. But when you have the three of them, you have a different type of situation. It's almost like it's like an independent mechanism. That's why when we realized the connection between shungite and the material and the usage of it on the extraterrestrial, or, you know, let's say spacecraft, that you'd have to have that. You can't be linked to the field in Russia. So yes, it works independently. But in this given environment, we have the one field in Russia. So when you're using the single one, it's not that you're using the single one. You're really pulling on the entire field that's sitting there. That's what I believe.
Okay, so what's different about the one that is sitting here? My experience of it. So first of all, if I pick this up, the weird thing is I pick it up with my... I hold it in my left hand, you know, it's like... So I'm holding, like I'm holding a CD, for instance, with the tips of my fingers, and I can feel my left hand kind of buzzing, and I'm getting a kind of note of hoo, right? But when I pick it up with my right hand, I'm getting a different sense, and I'm getting a ha sound. They're not octaves, they're not the same note. And they...
Well, your left hand is your female side, your right hand is your male side, so your two different polarities are interpreting the signature of the device. So that's why two different instruments will, I guess, are picking up something different in reference to each other.
But there's also two sides to the device, aren't there?
Well, it's if you've used your pendulum, you should have been able to douse positive energy on both sides.
Okay, so
it doesn't matter which face you put up; the pendulum always shows positive spin.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Hang on.
Yep.
And I'm just looking at the edge.
It's generating a toroidal field.
Uh-huh.
And the Shangar is sitting smack in the middle of that central vortex.
Right. Wow. It's incredible. Actually, I'm turning the thing round with my left hand. I'm holding it in my left hand. I've got my pendulum above it. And the pendulum is swinging around. And then I move the thing underneath it. I still don't know its name. Eric. Yeah. So I move Eric underneath it. And my pendulum literally stops in midair and starts doing a different dance. It's quite incredible that it has that immediate an effect. But
as a dowser, you have L-rods, correct?
Yeah, they're in my bedroom, yeah.
When you have a chance to go outside and work in your garden, yeah, would you be able to put it on a bench or something and move away something like 50 feet and approach it with your L-rods so you could see where does the edge of the field extend to?
Right. Okay, so I have this fellow in my hand. How do I switch it on and off? What does it do? How can I?
All you have to do is say off, on.
Okay, on.
Just tell it to go off, and it'll.
Okay, and all right. So it's switched on. So, what do I do with it when it's switched on? It does feel.
Walt, have you worked with him? How do you see it? What do you do?
Well, one of the things that I practiced with was actually telling it the intensity. You know, give me quarter field intensity, give me half field intensity, give me maximum field intensity, and you feel the change. And I know I already have this syndrome. When it's going at full intensity, I start getting a sunburn on my face. So I know, I better turn it down a bit. That's how I notice. And when the first time you gave me that instruction and you said, well, if it's burning your face, just turn it off. Okay, why didn't I think of that? I went to it and I told it off, and in my mind's eye I could see the field collapsing down to just a pinprick of light in the center where the Shanghai specimen is sitting. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And you could feel the change, whatever vibrations, you know, the face burned, the sunburn stopped, and any vibration was absent. So okay. I was able to, you know, verify Nancy's statement.
All right, so I've turned it on and off, and I've checked it while you were talking. I was just like, give me 4 pounds. Oh, wow. Yeah, and take it down to 10%. And so I can turn it on and off, and I can turn it up and down. Right, now, what's it for? What do I do?
It's a computer. Well, it basically will take any programming. Once your brain is connected to it, and all you do is you just imagine it is. I mean, this is where we get into the concept of reality, is what you think it is. Imagine that you can actually reach out your thoughts and put it into the field that you see there. And once you get there, you can ask and have conversations with the spiral. It's going to respond to any question you have. It will link you up to other people. One person who was using it is very devastated by what's happening in the Gulf and has been in communication with the dolphins. And with this device, the communication, the telepathic link she got with the dolphins was much, much greater than she had without it. You can say to it, program anything you want into it. I need you to make my life better. I need you to stop this Japanese radiation from continuing. Anything that you want, you can program it to do. And it will take the programming. It will enter it into the entire system of these devices and every piece of shungite that's out there. Now, if it's of absolute pure heart, okay, it's going to happen. Now, the question that people would say was, what's the consequence of changing time? Because every time you knowingly change a timeline, and there are many people that can do this, knowingly change a timeline, there are all sorts of consequences that are involved in this. All right? So the stipulation that Shungite is given, not only Walt, but myself, is that absolute power demands absolute responsibility. When you think in terms of that, then every time you go to use the spiral, you're only going to program it with what is the best for not only you, but for Gaia. And this is the key, is that this is all linked into what is best for Gaia. Because this is her gift. This is her way of leveling the playing field. So if you say, you got to save my father. But everybody knows in the Shungite world and in Gaia that your dad needs to be on the other side. Your dad needs to be let go. Then you're not going to be able to do that. If you say, this boss of mine is triggering everything bad in me. I'm not feeling comfortable around him. Could you please, please, just make this man so that he's not bothering me? You're not interfering with his reality. You just don't want him interfering in your reality. And I guarantee you that that man will start to change because you have now are in control of your immediate environment without having any consequences. Because this person, except for you, because this person is no longer triggering you. But you've not interfered in who, or whatever else he wants to do in their life. So you have to think in terms of programming to be very sure that what you're doing is a responsible thing to do. And sometimes doing nothing is irresponsible. And this is what I'm learning, is that sometimes you have to take a chance that what you're trying to change by the way that you're thinking, connected to a device, and it's a device. It's a device that is allowing us to increase our consciousness to a point that we actually have some way of controlling reality. Am I pretty accurate here, Walt? I mean,
yeah.
Is there something missed?
I mean, it's good that you covered that in the example you gave JP. You covered both a broad change and a personal change. And in that particular one, you were involving, you know, the presence of somebody else. All that I can add is to JP is that you can also ask for changes in your non-living equipment. Let's say, for example, you're sick and tired of your computer systems being interfered with. You can ask that. Make all my equipment immune to any and all forms of interference, period. Don't give it any details. We as guys or as men, we tend to be very detail-oriented in logistics, and this should be this way and this should be this way. But heart, that's mental programming, because the mind is binary. The mind is always looking at both sides of the coin. So when you try to manifest from the mind, this is the allegory of the genie. When you ask the genie a wish, it comes out in the form of a curse, because when you manifest from the mind, because the mind is dual, the mind is binary, you wish, let's say, for example, okay, I wish for an apple, and you tell the mind is not going to manifest that. It's going to manifest also the opposite of that, in the sense that your sister will be coming down the street with an apple that she just bought. A car will run her over, the apple will go flying and land at your feet. So you got your apple, but what else did you get? That's the allegory. When you ask the genie something, it gives you what you want, but it also gives you something negative. When you wish from the heart, when you program from the heart, the heart only knows oneness. So when you're programming from the heart, you will get that and nothing but that. You don't have to deal with the dark side of what you wanted. So that's why you tell it, what is it that you want from your heart, and forget the details. Like, I want all my entire computer system to be immune to all forms of attack or interference, period. Don't describe how you want it, when you want it, what it should look like. No, forget that. Ignore the details. That's for the quantum field. The quantum field of infinite possibilities, that's the one that handles the details.
And we know that Shungite is working with that field. That's the secret to it. You got any questions, Jay? Any specific thing that we can...
Did we bore you already?
Well, no. Never. Never. There's always plenty to talk about with this technology. This is... I mean, okay, I'm looking at this. It looks like a little flying saucer. You know, and it's fine.
And just like a flying saucer, it responds to your consciousness.
Yes. Can I... What happens if I... Would it hurt me if I carry it in my pocket?
No.
Can it be... Is it too intense? Do I have to kind of step away from it and turn it on?
No, you've got control over the power.
Yeah. I hang it around my neck with a cord.
Oh, do you? Like a kind of big rap artist or something.
Yeah, well, it's under the clothing, so nobody has to ask me, what is that big thing on your neck?
You don't walk around like Medallion Man.
No. Or like, what is a Flavor Flav with a giant clock on his chest?
Yeah.
But the other thing I have to point out is that you actually do not even have to be in the physical presence of it. Once you make a connection to a spiral, you're connected to that spiral. I can be anywhere and say, spiral, you know, turn on, do. I mean, it's like this. It's just an enhancement of our own human powers, but linked to the quantum field. It's really very simple. You know what I mean?
Nancy's right because she can't move hers.
Yeah, it's true. I cannot.
She's stuck. She cannot touch it from where it is. It has to remain where it is.
What's that?
You know, I accidentally, because when I got mine, I said, what am I supposed to do with this, all right? We didn't know. We just started working with them. And we understood the on-off thing because I'll tell you, I saw Walt when he'd been playing with it full on, and he looked like he had second degree sunburn. Over Skype, I'm seeing it. I mean, this was a really very, you know, and plus the fact that he looked physically distressed. And, so I kind of freaked out and I said, Gaia, what do I say to him? And she said, tell him to turn it off. And so I did, and he went, turn it off. You know, I said, yeah, just turn it off. And so, you know, from my side, I was working on it. From his side, he's working on it. Because this was big. This was not just the one. It was six of them all together. And when he came out of his, you know, focusing and stuff, he said, I don't think it turned off. I said, no, it did, but it still got residual energy. Put it on the floor and ground it. So he leans over. I don't see him. And when he sat back up, I can't tell you the difference in Walt's entire energy field. It was just like, oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was
burning,
like,
stopped finally.
You know, so but we needed that demonstration to understand the on-off switch. I'm sorry he went through that, but I was very grateful because otherwise we wouldn't have even begun to understand the full implications of how this thing ties in with you. And you can tell it, you can make a command to a spiral and say, do not accept anybody else's signals except mine. And nobody else would be able to operate. It's like a computer that enhances your ability for information and for all sorts of communication. This is just another device, but it's built on Shungite and Shungite's ability to interact with the quantum field.
Well, look at it this way, JP. Sorry to interrupt, Nancy.
No,
just following on what you're saying. Okay, you use glasses. Do your glasses read for you? No, your glasses are enhancing your power of sight or a hearing aid. So this is the same thing. This is enhancing your own abilities and your own connection to the quantum field.
It's like a control point. As a matter of fact, when I was trying to work with the... Walt sent me 10 of them. And by the way, you can... They're not up right now. But you can, you're going to be able to go to cosmicreality.net and buy these devices. They're going to be $45. It's cosmicreality.net. And it's probably going to take me a couple days to get them up there yet. But one of the... I lost the thing. I was... one of the things when I was trying to figure out how to program, because I had 10 of them, so I'm taking one out and I'm going like, okay, I want you to, and I'm trying to figure out what to call the person who is going to, that this device belongs to. And I finally came on to the word controller. Who's your controller? Go find your controller. You know, because that's what it is. It's a device. It's sort of like the, you know, a computer that's talking.
Daddy.
Yeah, who's your dad? Go find your daddy, your mommy. You know, men, well, both men and women, they were very much attracted to it. But I was very careful. We didn't have it really out. It was like those people that you sort of got a feeling about, that you said, okay, you know, you want to see something? And it's just, but anyway, it's a device. And so all you have to do is basically, because we're running out of time here, basically just say to it, you know, I'm your controller, I'm your programmer, you know, and then just work with it. Imagine conversations with it, because it's not imagining. You're just allowing your own brain to open up and communicate. And it is a device that will tell you things. It will respond to you. But you don't need it on your physical. Once you make the connection, you can be thousands of miles, maybe in a universe away, and you will still be connected to that.
Okay. Very quickly, where can people buy them? On cosmicreality.net and...
Cosmicreality.net. And, well, he's going to, yeah. Once we get it set up on Cosmic Reality, then he's going to put it up on his new paradigm. I'm sorry, Walt, what's your website? New Paradigm?
NewParadigmTools.com.
Tools.com, yeah. NewParadigmTools.com. Thank you, Walt. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to Will Stillings, Brett Stillings, William Stillings, williamstillings@gmail.com. Send him some PayPal. Maybe I should make him a page on the website. Anyway, brothers and sisters, thank you very much. Good night. Let's go.
Good night.
Beyond.